me say I don't have an outline for you this evening. It's going to be a continued lesson, so I'll give you an outline in 2 weeks. Usually I like to have an outline so you can follow along, so I guess this time you'll just have to follow along or listen. Been giving lessons on Sunday evening for a while, hopefully they're just practical. Talk about how we live or get along with each other. Help us in our spirituality, our attitudes, our faith, those kinds of things. Last Lord's Day, or evening, we gave two lessons 2 weeks ago, then last Lord's Day evening on worry and what Jesus had to say about that in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. Just going to use a different Bible word for this evening. It'll be a continued lesson. But the subject is the single word fear. What does the Bible have to say about fear? By way of introduction, I remember the story of a police officer that pulled over a lady who was driving. One of the questions he asked the lady was, "Do you have any weapons in the car?" The lady said, "Well, I have a permit for a concealed weapon. It's in my purse. I have a .38 in the glove box and a .45 in the console between the seats." The officer said, "Lady, what are you afraid of?" She said, "Not a thing." not a thing. I think that's the way we, in the spiritual side of life, need to live our lives. What are you afraid of? Not a thing. Psychologists tells us that we're born with two fears. Two fears. Think to yourself before I give you the answer. Two fears. When a baby is born, there's two fears. One's a fear of falling. The other's a fear of noise. Startle reflex. And as we get older, the list of fears gets longer. Things that we're afraid of. Remember, there are two friends chatting about their lives, their hopes, and their fears. And after one of them went on and on at length about the things he was afraid of, his friend said, "You sound phobic." And the fearful friend agreed and said, "Well, I'm seeking help." He said, "I almost bought a book on phobias, but I was afraid it wouldn't help me." Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it. Humor? I don't know if you know, I collect these just every once in a while. But Tuesday's newspapers in the one of those mental health sections, they always have this thing, they always have a list of, one of the things is on phobias. There's always a phobia in every Tuesday's paper in the B section. And this one, I take these after a couple of weeks, but one of them is tokophobia, T-O-K-O phobia. Fear of childbirth or pregnancy. Here's ebulliophobia. Ebullia. It's a fear of bubbles. So in case you were looking for something to be afraid of, there's some other things. Oh, my goodness. D-I-K-I-G-O-R-O-S-O phobia. Dicogoroso phobia. Like that? D-I-K-I, dikai? Like gorosophobia. It's a fear of lawyers.
Pretty much.
Fear of lawyers. Dystaxiophobia? Dystaxiophobia? No, you're not fear of, be afraid of the Episcopalian. No. Fear of nosebleeds. Nosebleeds. No. But there's just interesting that. Well, even in the newspaper, there's interested in phobias. Saw this in the Christian Chronicle. Bobby Ross Jr. writes an article, a little editorial, and this one was titled, "It's a bird, it's a plane, it's a scary thing." He has a phobia. He says, "I enjoy traveling and meeting Christians across the nation. I tolerate flying. I Googled fear of flying for tips on overcoming airborne distress. I try to reassure myself with the much-reported claims that flying is safer than driving. A recent Associated Press story carried this headline: "It's never been safer to fly. Deaths are at a record low." So he thought that was comforting. The death rate for flying is at a record low. This is just the introduction to the lesson on fear. When I look up the word fear in the concordance, just the word fear, poor fear, fear of God, those kinds of things, it covers all of that page, and I had to count all of these scriptures. Just the word fear in the Bible, there's 90, 90, 90, 90, 45, so that's 500 references to fear in the Bible. And then just the word afraid is another 90 and 30 and 10, so about 710 references in the Bible to that single word fear, or to be afraid. So evidently there's much to be said about it. I want to mention the Bible speaks of two kinds of fear in general. One, there's a fear that's commanded. A commanded fear, it's the one that has to where we are to be in awe of God, fear God, reverence God. That fear of God means to hold God in honor or proper respect. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments. In Job 28, verse 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. There's a proper fear, biblical fear, that you and I are to have. You can understand the words of Jesus when he said in Matthew 10, 28, fear not him which is able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. In Acts 9, verse 31, it says, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and they were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord. Proper respect for God, in awe of God, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. There is a warning that comes with this fear too in Psalm 36, verse 1. It says, the transgression of the wicked say within their heart that there is no fear of God before their eyes. The transgression of the wicked is that they say, at least one transgression of them, there is no fear before my eyes. Fear of God before my eyes. So now there's a fear that's forbidden. This is kind of like with the subject of worry. The fear that's forbidden is synonymous with dread or alarm or fright or apprehension, anxiety, perplexity, distrust. In Psalm 91, verse 1 begins this way. Gives a little definition of it. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we want to abide. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. See, there's a certain fear that's forbidden in our spiritual life. We need to put more trust and faith in God, and that's the illustration that the psalmist is giving. Jesus said it this way in Luke 12, verse 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This song's not in our book, but I remember it's one of my favorite songs from the youth, and you'll recognize it right away. The song is titled, Fear Not, Little Flock. The last stanza in the words of the song says, ride over temptation, and cease your alarm. Your shepherd is Jesus, your refuge, his arm. He'll never forsake you, a brother and friend, but love you and save you in worlds without end. Whiter than snow, I long to be whiter than snow, is the chorus. But ride over temptation. Cease your alarms. Your shepherd is Jesus. Your refuge is ours. That's the lesson on fear. Fear is not to be confused with caution. That's kind of like the same thing with worry. Proper fear, we said proper worry, fear of getting run over causes us to look both ways before we cross the street. Proper fear, or caution. Caution is the idea of we want to eliminate an illness, so we take our medicine. We fear thievery, so we lock our cars or our buildings, our homes. There's a certain kind of caution that we need to exercise, that's right. But there's this fear of God that we should have, meaning we need to be in awe of God, proper reverence for God. But the fear that's forbidden is when we have the proper awe of God, we need to realize that our lives rest in Him. The key to overcoming our fear, my next major point is our faith. Our faith. I just want to read a list of scriptures to kind of illustrate this, and then we'll stop in just a moment. But overcoming fear has to do with your faith and mine. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Where is deliverance? Seeking the Lord. Psalm 23, verse 4, the familiar 23rd Psalm. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm not going to fear any evil, even in death. Even though I go through the valley, it seems like each step gets worse. If I'm in the valley and I'm in the shadow of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Nothing is going to overpower my confidence in God, and nothing is going to overpower God's plan for your salvation and mine. I'm not going to fear any evil, even in death. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in Thee, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust without fear. What can flesh do to me? Psalm 112, verse 6. The righteous will never be moved. He is not afraid of evil tidings, but his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. So a key to overcoming fears that we have in life, especially when it concerns our salvation, overcoming troubles, trials, temptations, is our faith and our trust in God. We'll always have hardships. There won't always be an easy road. So what are we going to do when we're afraid of an outcome that we can't see? We are going to put our faith and trust in God. Here's where fear operates. A lot of times we fear failure. Remember the one talent man? This fear caused the man with one talent to do nothing. He's afraid. That's how it begins. In Matthew 25, verse 25, when Jesus called him into accounting, I was afraid. And because he was afraid, here's what fear can do. He went and hid his talent in the earth. He says, lo, he's talking to Jesus, lo, there thou hast thou that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, yet knew that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I strawed not. Well, we're afraid to use our talents. And because what fear does to us, it causes us to hide that talent. when we need to put faith to work. In Christianity, when we make an investment, there's going to be a return. Isaiah 55, verse 11. So shall my word be that that goes forth, or so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. When we put our faith and our trust in God, we don't have to be afraid to do what God's word gives us to do. Don't be afraid. We need to just use the talents we have. The last one I want to use, and we'll continue this lesson next week, is just fear of the unknown. Life in general is illustrated with this story in the newspaper several years ago. Derek Thomas, this young man, they have a picture here, tries to celebrate every day that he's alive. His recovery from devastating burns suffered in a car crash that killed 4 people and injured 12 near Bishop almost this year. 18 months ago, he's defied all odds. It was on August 9, 2010. Thomas was in an SUV that crashed along US 395 near Bishop. Thomas was burned over more than 85% of his body. His injuries were so severe that doctors gave him 1% chance of survival. The only skin on his body that hadn't been burned was on his thighs, feet, and scalp. He was taken to a burn center in Los Angeles, where he was kept in a coma for 4 months. During the next year, he would undergo nearly 50 surgeries. Last July, he was released from the burn center, spent another month at Scripps Memorial Hospital in Encinitas, then came home just as he was turning 20 years of age. He said, "At this point, I'm fully independent." But in the interview, came down to the end, he said, "My fears have always been of the unknown, the next step." He said, "Wanting everything to work out right, but not knowing what's going to happen." Fear of the unknown. That's what it is. Spiritually, we sing songs. God holds the future in his hand. We sing hymn number 463, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow." We sing hymn number 464, "Because he lives." Because he lives. There's a whole section of hymns in our hymnal book from page 451 to 535 that are just songs on Christian assurance. Blessed assurance. So we continue this lesson and talk about things that happen to our fears. Oh, I kept looking at that clock. That clock is stalled. That clock will always be 20 minutes to 8. Now, you know, I need to look around and see, but it's still this time. So we just look at some of these things. What does fear do? Why is it forbidden? Because of these things, first two things, fear will cause us not to use our talents. We'll hide it because we're afraid to use it. And then because we're afraid of the unknown. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Don't let our fear lose faith. That's his lesson. So always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. I'll give you an outline in a couple of weeks with all these scriptures that I'm listed under the heading of fear. If you're interested in that. But at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. Maybe one here this evening that's not a member of the New Testament church. They've been baptized for remission of sins, and we can accomplish that this evening. You've heard the good news. You believe it, that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that God sent his Son, and you're willing to turn your life around, make God a priority, confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you be baptized, and then rise to walk in newness of life. And that's the invitation we extend. All things are ready. We can make that happen this evening. Just simply need to let your resolve be known. So let's stand together and sing the song that Ben has selected for us.